And O Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam, urge the believers to fight. If there are 20 steadfast people amongst you, they will overcome 200. And if there are 100 steadfast people, they will overcome 1,000 of those who disbelieve. Because the disbelievers are people who do not understand. Look at the words Allah has used here. If there are 20 steadfast people amongst you, well, look at the quantity of Muslims in the world today. Every day we're reading about how many millions of Muslims are living in this world. So why are the Muslims not overcoming the disbelievers? Because the key word is sabirun. They have to be steadfast. They have to be constant in ibadah. They have to be constant in abstaining from evil. And they have to be patient at times of trial. So if we're not sabirun, all these millions are certainly not helping us. In fact, the Prophet ﷺ even predicted a time would come when the Muslims would be many in number, but would be overpowered and oppressed as we see today. The companions were amazed. They couldn't even conceive of such a time. Because their situation was the exact reverse, that they were few in number, but because their courage was so great, their iman was so strong, that they were winning against all odds. And they said, how can that be? And he told them, due to fear of death and love of this world, due to love of this world, we suck up to the disbelievers. We follow their laws. We implement their laws in our country, rather than having the courage to uphold Islamic law. Allah says, if there are 20 steadfast people amongst you, they will overcome 200. And if there are 100 steadfast people, they will overcome 1,000 of those who disbelieve. Now these are Allah's words. ذَلِكَ الْكِتَابُ لَا رَيْبَ فِيهِ. They're not just numbers. This is the book in which there is no doubt. If Allah is telling us, it is the truth. Because the disbelievers are people who don't understand. What don't they understand? The power of Allah. Now Allah has lightened your task, for He knows that there is weakness in you. So if there are of you 100 steadfast people, they shall overcome 200. And if there are 1,000 of you, they shall overcome 2,000. Bi-idhnillah. The key words, by the consent of Allah, not due to any great courage that they're showing. In other words, even if what is required from us is sabr, and then inshallah Allah will help us. Wallahu ma'as-sabirin. Allah is with those who are constant. It is not for a prophet that he should have prisoners of war until he had made a great slaughter among his enemies in the land. Now we read this ayat and we think, how cruel, why is Allah telling the Prophet ﷺ to massacre his enemies? That's not the point of the ayat. The point of the ayat is to remind us that the true purpose of jihad is not the booty you collect at the end, is not the land you've taken over at the end. What is the true purpose of jihad? To curb the power of the kuffar. To check their oppression, that is the purpose of jihad. تُرِيدُونَ عَرَضَ الدُّنْيَا وَاللَّهُ يُرِيدُ الْآخِرَةِ. You desire the good of this world. You want money, you want lands, you want new countries, new frontiers. But Allah desires for you the hereafter. وَاللَّهُ عَزِيزٌ حَكِيمٌ. Again and again Allah reminds us, He is Almighty, He is All-Wise. Were it not a previous ordainment from Allah, a severe torment would have touched you for what you took. So enjoy what you have gotten of booty in war, lawful and good. Wattaqullah. Be conscious of Allah. Don't forget Allah whilst enjoying these worldly pleasures. Inna Allaha ghafoorur raheem. Indeed Allah is forgiving and merciful. When is He forgiving and merciful? When we have tried our best. Say, O Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam, to the captives that are in your hands, if Allah knows any good in your heart, He will give you something better than what has been taken from you, and He will forgive you. Wallahu ghafoorur raheem. And Allah is forgiving, most merciful. People have this theory that Islam spread by the sword, and the Muslims used to force other people to convert. Look at this. This is a chance of complete free will. They are being given an option that if you wish, you can convert to Islam. The purpose was not to finish off the kuffar. The purpose was A, to check their oppression, and B, to give them a chance to return to Islam or come to Islam. If Allah knows any good in your hearts, He will give you something better than what has been taken from you, and He will forgive you. We find one of the captives of the prisoners of Badr saying, when I was captured, I gave 20 awqiya gold for my ransom. Later on, I converted to Islam. Why did he convert to Islam? He ransomed himself. We find that the Muslims were so kind and merciful to the captives, that one Muslim in whose house a captive was being kept, he actually used to give him, you know, the roti that he had and eat dates himself, because roti was considered a delicacy. Now he was giving this roti to a captive who was a kafir, and he didn't give it so that that man would convert to Islam. He gave it because these were the humane laws taught by the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. So he used to give that man roti every day and deprive himself of that delicacy. So Allah says that He will forgive you. Allah is of forgiving most merciful. These were the chances of conversion being held forth before the captives. And if anyone did not wish to convert, then he could ransom himself in return. And for some prisoners, the Prophet ﷺ said, if you don't have money with which to ransom yourself, then teach the Muslim children how to read and write. And again, that emphasizes the importance of education in Islam. But if they intend to betray you, they indeed betrayed Allah before, so He gave you power over them. And Allah is all-knower, all-wise. إِنَّ الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا وَهَاجَرُوا وَجَاهَدُوا بِأَمْوَالِهِمْ وَأَنفُسِهِمْ فِي سَبِيلِ اللَّهِ وَالَّذِينَ آوَوْا وَنَصَرُوا أُولَٰئِكَ بَعْضُهُمْ أَوْلِيَاءُ بَعْضٍ. Indeed, those who believed and migrated and did jihad and fought with their property and their lives in the cause of Allah, as well as those who gave them refuge and help, all of these are friends of one another. And as to those who believed and did not emigrate, you owe no duty of protection to them until they emigrate. Those Muslims who lived in Makkah, who could escape, but chose to live in the land of kufr, this addresses for them. But if they seek your help in religion, it is your duty to help them. If Muslims are suffering and they ask us for help, it is our duty to help them. It's not a favor. Except against a people with whom you have a treaty of mutual alliance. Wallahu bima ta'maluna basir. And Allah is seeing whatever you do. Now look at the sequence of the words. Once we have iman, we prove our iman. We don't just sit back and say, oh, Allah knows how much I love Him. Hajaru, they migrated. Now we might say, well, where should we migrate to? We're living in an Islamic country already. The Prophet ﷺ once defined hijrah and said, Al-muhajiru man hajara ma nahallahu anhu. The muhajir is one who leaves that which Allah has forbidden him. In other words, when we move from a state where we're disobeying Allah to a state where we're obeying Allah, that too is a hijrah. That too is a form of abandoning evil for good. Wa jahadu, the key word, jahadu. Now we think of jihad and we think of warriors brandishing swords and yelling Allahu Akbar. Jihad is much more than that. Jihad actually literally means struggle. When you struggle in Allah's path. Now that can be military jihad, which is of course the supreme form of jihad. When you're actually fighting in Allah's path to curb oppression, to save the oppressed Muslims. But there are other forms of jihad as well. When you're feeling tired and you force yourself to get up and pray, you're doing jihad against your nafs. When we come and learn this knowledge of Allah, we're doing intellectual jihad. Whatever we learn of the knowledge of this Quran and the Sunnah is a great form of jihad. Because the Prophet ﷺ said, مَنْ خَرَجَ فِي طَلَبِ الْعِلْمِ فَهُوَ فِي سَبِيلِ اللَّهِ حَتَّى يَرْجِعَ. Whoever leaves his house seeking the knowledge of Allah, then he is in Allah's path until he returns. Again and again we find the emphasis on Islamic education, educating ourselves about Islam, about the depths of this Quran, about the depths of Sunnah. Allah says, Jahadu bi amwalihim, by their wealth, spending our money in Allah's path, giving our money for causes that are supporting Islam, wa anfusihim. Not that we give vast amounts in checks and think, oh, we're so good and pious. Anfusihim, do jihad with their nafs. Every time I force myself to obey Allah, I am doing jihad against my nafs. Every time I sacrifice my time for Allah's sake, we are doing jihad of the nafs. Anfusihim. And why are we doing all of this? For Allah's sake. And those who help them and who give refuge to them. The Muslims are supposed to be complementing one another. If we don't have the knowledge to teach the Quran, at least we can support those who are doing so. أُولَٰئِكَ بَعْضُهُمْ أَوْلِيَاءُ بَعْضٍ. Such are friends one of another. إِنَّمَا الْمُؤْمِنُونَ إِخْوَةٌ. What have we been taught? That the mu'mineen are brothers, not fighting amongst themselves. And Allah is all seer of what you do. And those who disbelieve are allies one of another. The Prophet ﷺ once said, Al-kufru millatan wahida. Kufr is one creed. In other words, they are all united, no matter what creed, what culture they believe in. They are all united in their hatred of Islam, in their inner fear of Islam. And if you do not do so, in other words, if we do not form allies amongst ourselves, there will be fitna and oppression on the earth. Wa fasadun kabir. And a great corruption. And we know what's happening today to the Muslims all over the world. وَالَّذِينَ آمَنُوا. And those who have iman. Again Allah repeats. وَهَاجَرُوا. And do hijrah. Migrate. In whatever way they can. And they do jihad in the path of Allah. Iman in itself is not enough. that I sit back and say, well, I'm a good Muslim and I read my 5 prayers a day and that's enough for me. If Allah has granted me opportunities to learn this knowledge, to teach this knowledge, then I should take those opportunities. Fi sabilillah, in the path of Allah, walladheena awa wa nasaru, as well as those who gave refuge and help, ulaika humul mu'minuna haqqan, such are the true believers. Now this is the definition of the believers. Do we come under this category? Are we doing any of these actions? Lahum maghfiratun wa rizqun kareem. What's the great incentive to be like these people? For such is forgiveness. We sit back after our 5 prayers and after our fast at the end of the day and think Allah is bound to forgive us. For such is forgiveness. People who prove their words, who make sacrifices. لَن تَنَالُوا الْبِرَّ حَتَّى تُنْفِقُوا مِمَّا تُحِبُّونَ. You can never attain goodness until you spend from that which you love. Whether of your time, or your energies, or your knowledge, or your talents, any talent that Allah has given us. مِمَّا رَزَقْنَاهُمْ يُنْفِقُونَ. From all that we have provided them, they spend. For such people is forgiveness and a generous provision. وَالَّذِينَ آمَنُوا مِنْ بَعْدُ. And those who believed afterwards. وَهَاجَرُوا. And emigrated. وَجَاهَدُوا مَعَكُمْ. And strove hard along with you. فَأُولَٰئِكَ مِنْكُمْ. Such people are of you. We want the same Jannah as the companions of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Are we doing the same deed? Are we even trying to emulate them? Their spirit of sacrifice, their spirit of giving everything they had for Allah's sake. Remember Suhaib al-Rumi, the companion, that when he was escaping from Makkah and the kuffar surrounded him and said, we'll kill you. He said, fine, if you want to kill me, but otherwise I'll tell you where my wealth is hidden and you can take all that wealth. And he said that because he knew he could be of more value to Islam while he was living. So they let him go and he literally gave up everything he possessed just so he could serve Islam. And when he reached Medina, the Prophet ﷺ had already been informed of this by Wahi. And he greeted him by saying, O Suhaib, your transaction has been successful. Could we ever contemplate doing such a thing for Islam? Those who believed afterwards and emigrated and did jihad with you, فَأُولَٰئِكَ مِنْكُمْ. Such people are of you. But kindred by blood are nearer to one another regarding inheritance in the decree ordained by Allah. إِنَّ اللَّهَ بِكُلِّ شَيْءٍ عَلِيمٌ. Indeed Allah is all knower of everything. In other words, that inheritance rights first and foremost belong to the relatives. Before starting Surah Tawbah, I'd like to tell you the background. We find that the Muslims made a pact with the Kuffar, which was known as Sulh Hudaybiyah, in 6th Hijri. Now the basic terms of the pact was that there would be no war between the Muslims and the Kuffar for 10 years. And the Muslims would not fight against any allies belonging to the Quraysh and vice versa. Now what happened was that 2 years later, Quraysh violated this pact and they helped their ally, Banu Bakr, attack the ally of the Muslims. And there was a complete massacre of the ally of the Muslims. People that sought refuge in the Kaaba were also brutally murdered. And only 40 survivors remained and they managed to escape to Medina to tell them this tale. Whereupon a force of 10,000 Muslims marched upon Makkah and a bloodless victory ensued. It's said that only 6 people were killed because they were active enemies of Islam. They were trying to harm Islam. No one else was killed. Everyone else was given sanctuary. And whereupon these first 40 verses were revealed. Now Hazrat Abu Bakr had already left for Hajj when these verses were revealed. So the Prophet ﷺ sent Hazrat Ali after him. Basically in these verses we find that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala was formally nullifying all the alliances that had been made with the mushrikeen who had violated their pact. In other words, Sulh Hudaybiyah was rendered null and void. Secondly, Allah declared that no non-Muslim will enter Jannah. A person who's been given the chance to accept Islam and refuses it, he cannot enter Jannah. The third condition was this, that after this year, after this surah had been revealed, no mushrik, no non-Muslim could come for Hajj. And fourthly, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala told the Muslims that they had to continue the alliance with those who had kept up their alliance. Not that they broke up all the pacts. If they had any pacts with non-Muslims and they had been loyal to the pact, then the Muslims were supposed to adhere to that pact till the term of expiry. We find that in the beginning of this surah, Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim has not been written. Now, there have been many reasons advanced, but the basic reason and the most important reason for us is that the Prophet ﷺ did not have Bismillah written. So we cannot read it before we start this surah. بَرَاءَةٌ مِّنَ اللَّهِ وَرَسُولِهِ إِلَى الَّذِينَ عَاهَدْتُم مِّنَ الْمُشْرِكِينَ. It's a magnificent surah. It teaches us fearlessness. Freedom from all obligations is declared from Allah and His Messenger to those of the idolaters with whom you made a treaty. So travel freely for 4 months as you will throughout the land, but know that you cannot escape from the punishment of Allah, and Allah will disgrace the disbelievers. We Muslims who spend our lives in fear, who spend our lives in flattering the non-Muslims, we need this surah in our lives. Allah is teaching us courage. And a declaration from Allah and His Messenger to mankind on the greatest day of Hajj, Yawm al-Hajj al-Akbar. Here, in passing, I'll mention this common misconception that Muslims hold, that if Yawm al-Arafat comes on a Friday, then it's Hajj al-Akbar, otherwise it's not. Allah is saying Hajj al-Akbar. In other words, every Hajj, when you're performing Hajj, it's called Hajj al-Akbar. And Hajj al-Asfar, the lesser Hajj, refers to Umrah. A declaration from Allah and His Messenger to mankind on the greatest day that Allah is free from all obligations to the mushrikeen, and so is His Messenger. So if you repent, it is better for you, but if you turn away, then know that you cannot escape from the punishment of Allah. And give tidings of a painful torment to those who disbelieve, except those of the mushrikeen with whom you have a treaty and who have not subsequently failed you in anything, nor have supported anyone against you. So fulfill their treaty to them for the end of their term. إِنَّ اللَّهَ يُحِبُّ الْمُتَّقِينَ. Indeed, Allah loves those who are Allah conscious. This is the justice of Islam, that if someone has not broken their pact with you, then we have no right to violate that pact. Then when the sacred months have passed, then kill the mushrikeen wherever you find them, and capture them, and besiege them, and lie in wait for them in each and every ambush. But if they repent and perform salat and give zakat, then leave their way free. Indeed, Allah is forgiving, most merciful. And if any one of the idolaters seeks your protection, then grant him protection so that he may hear the word of Allah, and then escort him to where he can be secure. ذَلِكَ بِأَنَّهُمْ قَوْمٌ لَا يَعْلَمُونَ. This is because they are a people who have no knowledge. How can there be a covenant with Allah and with His Messenger for the mushrikeen, except those with whom you made a covenant near the sacred mosque? So long as they are true to you, you also stand true to them. إِنَّ اللَّهَ يُحِبُّ الْمُتَّقِينَ. Indeed, Allah loves the Allah conscious. Again and again, the Muslims are being repeated that if someone is fulfilling their treaty with you, then we Muslims should not be the aggressors. How can there be such a covenant with them that when you are overpowered by them, they regard not the ties, either of kinship or of covenant with you? With good words from their mouths they please you, but their hearts are averse to you, and most of them are disobedient to Allah. They have purchased with the signs of Allah a little gain, and they have hindered men from His way. Evil indeed is that which they used to do. لَا يَرْقُضُونَ فِي مُؤْمِنٍ إِلَّا وَلَا ذِمَّةٍ. With regard to a believer, they respect not the ties, either of kinship or of covenant. وَأُولَٰئِكَ هُمُ الْمُعْتَدُونَ. It is they who are the transgressors. But if they repent, establish salat and give zakat, then they are your brothers in religion. Islam teaches us to hate the sin, not the sinner. If someone repents, then we too are supposed to accept them with outstretched arms. In this way, we explain the signs in detail for a people who know. But if they violate their oaths after their covenant and attack your religion with disapproval and criticism, then fight the leaders of disbelief. For surely their oaths are nothing to them, so that they may stop. And the next ayat is very beautiful. أَلَا تُقَاتِلُونَ قَوْمًا نَكَثُوا أَيْمَانَهُمْ وَهَمُّوا بِإِخْرَاجِ الرَّسُولِ وَهُمْ بَدَأُوكُمْ أَوَّلَ مَرَّةٍ. Will you not fight a people who have violated their oaths and intended to expel the messenger while they did attack you first? أَتَخْشَوْنَهُمْ. Do you fear them? فَاللَّهُ أَحَقُّ أَن تَخْشَوْهُ إِن كُنتُم مُؤْمِنِينَ. Allah is more right that you should fear Him if you are believers. Fight against them, so Allah will punish them by your hands, and disgrace them, and give you victory over them, and heal the breasts of a believing people, and remove the anger of their hearts. Allah accepts the repentance of whom He wills. Allah is all-knowing, all-wise. Now let's take a look at this ayat, and consider what atrocities are being committed against the Muslims worldwide. The atrocities that have taken place in Bosnia are taking place in Chechnya, in Kashmir, in Palestine. We know all this. We all read the newspaper. Do we care? No, we don't care. If we cared, we'd be doing something about it. I remember reading in the newspaper that about a Bosnian outrage. What happened? This man had related how he was in a war camp in Bosnia, a Muslim man, and he was forced to rape a Muslim girl. And he burst into tears. He begged the guards, and he begged them, don't make me do it. She's young enough to be my daughter. I have a daughter this age. And they said, either you do it or we'll kill you. That's how sick they were. such humiliations inflicted upon Muslim women, which are being inflicted upon them. We know about all the number of women that were raped, that are being raped. But Muslim men and Muslim women are so callous. We read about it. We shed one tear and then we forget about it. How would we feel in such a situation? For every woman, this is the one night where she fears most of all, rape. How would we feel if our sister or our daughter or our mother or anyone we know or love was in this situation? But we don't care. Allah says, أَتَخْشَوْنَهُمْ? Do you fear these people? Is that it? فَاللَّهُ أَحَقُّ أَن تَخْشَوْهُ. Allah is more right that you should fear Him. إِن كُنْتُم مُؤْمِنِينَ. If you are believers. How can we be such hypocrites? Preach Islam, talk about Allah, talk about the believers. We know these atrocities are being committed. We know these outrages are being perpetrated daily. But we don't care. Allah has told us, Allah will not change a people until they change themselves. And then we complain, why doesn't Allah show any mercy? We don't show mercy for the Muslims. So why should Allah show mercy upon us? The other day they were showing on BBC how people are fleeing Grozny. And one woman said, there are still many people left over there. But they're old, and who's going to help the old people? Now she was doing it to save her life. But at that point I thought of an ayat in the Quran in which Allah asks us, how can you not help the weak amongst the men, women and children? What's wrong with us? That's because we don't even worry about our own hereafter, so why should we worry about the rest of the Muslims? We're so selfishly obsessed with our own enjoyment, we don't have time to think of them. أَتَخْشَوْنَهُمْ? Look at the contempt in Allah's words. Do you fear them? You're afraid of people? And they're totally fearless about what they're doing to the Muslims. فَاللَّهُ أَحَقُّ أَن تَخْشَوْهُ. Allah is more right that you should fear Him. What answer will we give to Allah on that day when Allah asks us, how could you hear of these outrages and not care and not do anything about it? We find when we compare their rules of warfare, what are their rules of warfare? Finish everyone, eliminate everyone. Don't leave man, woman or child alive. What are our rules of warfare that the Prophet ﷺ taught us? We're forbidden from all treachery, deceit. We're not allowed to kill any woman, child or old person. We're not allowed to injure date palms or to cut down any tree that provide food for man and beast. In fact, one of the Khulafa even used to forbid the killing of farmers because they're essential for the agriculture of a country. We're not allowed to slay any flocks except for minimum sustenance. We're not allowed to molest men of religion, to harm or injure scholars of any religion, whether Judaism or Christianity. What did the Prophet ﷺ teach us? To be thus oppressed, humiliated, despised wherever we are? No, he taught us, Ad-deenu ya'lu wa la yu'la. Deen prevails, is not prevailed upon. Deen overcomes, it's not overcome. How has Allah defined the ideal ummah? La yakhafuna lawmata la'im. Yujahiduna fi sabilillah. They fight in the path of Allah by their wealth and with their times, with their lives, with their energies, with their talents. La yakhafuna lawmata la'im. They don't care about anyone who's blaming them. They don't care if the West is portraying them as fanatical beasts. What about the atrocities they're committing? Why does no one talk about that? Atakhshawnahum? Do you fear them? We should read this ayat. We should inscribe it and frame it up in our rooms. Because that is the truth. We do fear them. We're scared of them. We're scared of their propaganda against us. We're scared of their contempt. We're scared of their armies. We're scared of what they can do to our economy. So fine. Then we can remain oppressed. Allah is not going to change us until we change ourselves. But there's still time. Allah accepts the repentance of whom He wills. Allah is all-knowing, all-wise. Do you think you shall be left alone? That we've said La ilaha illallah and that's it? We're all going to go to Jannah? We won't have to prove our iman? We don't have to do anything to prove our sincerity? To help our fellow Muslims? Do you think that you shall be left alone? See how Allah exposes every fallacy that we believe in. Do you think that you shall be left alone while Allah has not yet tested those amongst you who have done jihad and fought and have not taken advisors besides Allah? We don't do any of these things. Neither are we doing jihad, nor are we interested in seeking the Quran's guidance, nor are we interested in having recourse to the sunnah. Allah is well acquainted with what you do. We have processions and strikes and we think we've done a lot for the people of Kashmir. Allah is well acquainted with what you do. It is not for the mushrikeen to maintain the mosques of Allah while they witness against their own selves of disbelief. حبطت أعمالهم, the works of such are in vain. How can we maintain the mosques of Allah? How can we pretend to be the champions of Islam when we know what's happening to fellow Muslims all around the world? The works of such are in vain, and in fire shall they abide. The mosques of Allah. إنما يأمر مساجد الله من آمن بالله واليوم الآخر وأقام الصلاة وآتى الزكاة ولم يخش إلا الله. The mosques of Allah shall be maintained only by those who believe in Allah. Well, we believe in Allah. Who believe in the last day, we believe in the last day. Who establish Salah, yes, we do read Salah some of the time. Aata zakah, give zakat. Yes, maybe we give zakat and maybe we haven't even had a jewelry prize. Walam yakhsha illallah, and who fear none but Allah, and this is where we all fail. Fa'asa ulaika an yakunu min al-muhtadin. It is they who are on true guidance. Is there any amongst us who can claim that, yes, I am on true guidance? I fear none but Allah. Whatever I do is for Allah's sake. And I don't care if I die, but I will help those who are oppressed. It is they who are on true guidance. Allah says, Masajid Allah. What hypocrites we are. On one hand, we give sadqah to mosques, and on the other hand, we witness the massacre of Muslims around us on television every day, in the newspaper, on the internet, and we shrug our shoulders and say, may Allah have mercy on them. When we're not showing mercy, why will Allah show mercy on us? The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said about the mosques, mosques are heaven's gardens. When you pass by them, eat of their fruits. When he was asked, what are the fruits? He said, Subhanallah, walhamdulillah, wa la ilaha illallah, wallahu akbar. What have we reduced the mosques of Allah to? If you've ever gone to Faisal Mosque, it's a beautiful mosque. Just look at the number of people standing there. Look at the capacity of the mosque and look at the people who are actually praying over there. Recently there was a wedding held in a mosque, a mixed wedding, where women hadn't even covered their heads. Men and women freely mixing. That's a mockery of the mosques of Allah. When we've become so arrogant, we've become so fearless, we disobey Allah in His own mosque. Is that how shameless we've become? May Allah forgive us. Do you consider the providing of drinking water to the pilgrims and the maintenance of the sacred mosque as equal to the worth of those who believe in Allah in the last day and strive hard and fight in the cause of Allah? That's what we think too, isn't it? We give one sadqah and we think, oh, I'm going to go to Jannatul Firdaus. Allah says, is that how meager your intelligence is? Do you consider the providing of water to the pilgrims and the maintenance of the sacred mosque as equal to the worth of those who believe in Allah in the last day and do jihad in the path of Allah? This surah is about jihad, proving the truth of your words, not just speeches, not just lectures, but doing something. La yastawuna inda Allah. You might think it's the same. Oh, I've given a check for 5,000 and oh, how wonderful I am. La yastawuna inda Allah. They're not equal with Allah. وَاللَّهُ لَا يَهْدِي الْقَوْمَ الظَّالِمِينَ. Allah will not guide those people who are the wrongdoers, who are doing zulm as we are today.